on this edition of Disney's DVD Podcast.
Today, we'll call world-renowned animator Andreas Deja.
Whenever you get so caught up in putting a story together and the story is not working, it's too complicated, you always think about Dumbo. Let's try a little bit more like Dumbo. Let's simplify things and get to the heart of the characters.
Hi, Ross King here with Disney DVD Celebrity Podcall. I'll phone some of Hollywood's biggest stars and some of the talented folks behind the hottest Disney movies coming soon to DVD. Today, we'll call Andreas Deja, world-renowned animator whose work includes such Disney classics as Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, The Lion King. Oh, the list goes on and on. We'll talk to Andreas about the animation business and the DVD release of the Academy Award-winning classic Dumbo, available on DVD June 6.
He jumps from a springboard to a platform at the very pinnacle of your pyramid. And who is your climax? The little elephant with the big ears. The world's mightiest midget mastodon, Dumbo!
So, let's give Andreas Deja a call.
Hello?
Hello, Andreas?
Yes?
Hi, it's Ross King, and you're on my Celebrity Pod Call. Welcome.
Thank you very much. How are you, Ross?
I'm very well indeed. Now, Dumbo. DVD release June the 6th. The whole thing about this movie is you mention the word Dumbo, people say, oh, what a special movie. And I just wondered for you, what makes it so special?
Well, when I think back at when I saw Dumbo for the first time, I thought it was a very simple film, but a very emotional one at the same time. What happened at the studio during those years, they had to kind of cut back because they did some very expensive animated films like Pinocchio and Fantasia. So money ran a little thin, and for Dumbo, they had a very small budget. So that kind of forced the story people and the animators to come up with something very simple, direct, emotional, and they succeeded. So the backgrounds, for example, in Dumbo are a little simpler than the ones in Fantasia and Pinocchio, but they're very vivid and colorful. You know, you have the circus atmosphere, but they had to save a little bit, you know, and they really focus on the personality of the characters and the heart of the story.
Now, oddly enough, Dumbo never speaks in the movie. I just wondered if that was down to the fact that there wasn't as much money there. They saved on the voice talent.
You know, it's, well, once in a while you get these what we call pantomime characters, and they just work better when they don't talk. It's a challenge for the animators because dialogue is always a springboard, and it always helps you to get through a scene because you have something to listen to, something to base on. But Dumbo just worked as this innocent little character, you know, who had to show all his emotions through body language and facial expressions and what he did. And another one was Tinkerbell years later, who I can't even imagine characters like Dumbo talking or Tinkerbell, because they just work best as they express themselves, just through pantomime.
Once again, it's all about the story. But I wonder, what are the main differences now in animation, you know, as it was then for Dumbo and how it's created now?
Well, we have this big guy coming in called computer animation. But there's still hand-drawn animated films being done. For example, I'm working right now on a Disney animated opening for a live-action film that will be called The Enchanted. It's coming out next year. And the first 12 minutes are hand-drawn animation. And believe it or not, that's done in the same technique as Dumbo. We're doing 24 drawings per second on paper, and we're filming them and making sure the acting is right. So the hand-drawn films really use the same technique.
Now, what about your own hand? How did you get started in animation?
Oh, I got started kind of very early. I was about 10 years old when I saw my first animated film, way back in Germany where I grew up, and that was The Jungle Book. I'd never seen a Disney animated film. I was 10 years old, and then I saw this thing, and I thought, this is incredible. So all of a sudden, you find your life has a mission in terms of wanting to find out who does this, where they make those pictures, how, and can I be at all part, I mean, is it be possible that I'm going to be part of this? So I wrote a letter to Walt Disney Studios when I was about 11, I didn't speak English then, so my English teacher at school helped me to set that up and just ask basic questions. You know, how do I train myself to become a Disney animator later? What kind of school do you recommend? Those kind of questions. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, I got a letter back from Walt Disney Studios, California, which was very exciting. I still have that letter. And they answered all those questions. And the one important thing that they said is, look, if you're really serious about getting into a field like animation, don't send us any drawings, any cartoons of Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, because you know what? We can teach you that later on. We can teach you those characters. You need to become an artist on your own right first. So go to an art school. You have to learn how to draw the human figure. It's very important. You need to go to your local zoos and draw the animals and observe, you know, how they move and how they're built. And maybe you could start out by just drawing your brothers and sisters and pets. So all these tips that they gave me, really focusing on watching real life before I do the cartooning.
And the dream came true. I love it. Whenever talking to you, Andreas, what always comes across is your passion. And I wondered, what is it you particularly love about your job?
Oh, gosh. If you just imagine a white piece of paper, and anything can happen with that and the pencil. Anything. You can do a bad drawing or a good drawing or something that is really important. You can express yourself, put your own style, your own feelings on paper, and in animation, of course, into a scene, into a piece of movement. The possibilities are just so fantastic, and the potential is there for doing great work. Whenever I start, I just look at that piece of paper, and I thought, this is going to be the best scene that I've ever done. Everything else that I've done so far is leading up to this very scene that I'm starting right now, because you want to do a good job, because look at where I work. I mean, it's Walt Disney Studios with this amazing history. There are these great animators that Walt Disney called his nine old men. These are the people that really carried those animated features all those years. And they did mind-boggling work, from Lady and the Tramp to Peter Pan and Sword in the Stone, Sleeping Beauty. I mean, the level of these films is just unbelievable. I mean, they just don't age. They don't get old. I could watch Sleeping Beauty or Jungle Book once a week, and I always see something new, something that fascinates me, something that I haven't seen before. So I mean, to this day, I love sometimes checking out a sequence from a classic film because it's still so inspiring at such a high level that it just makes me want to work when I see these old films.
Oh, that's great. We're talking to famed Disney animator Andreas Deja. Now, Andreas, you've talked about some of the stuff that you've created in the past, but you didn't name it, and you're far too shy and far too bashful to name just one of the Seven Dwarfs. The people that you've created, the famous villains, Scar and Gaston, I just wondered, can you give us like a little snapshot just into the process of how you create an animated character?
Let me pick one that was really fun to work on. That was Scar in the Lion King, which a lot of people have seen, I suppose. I had just come off two other villains. I had done Gaston in Beauty and the Beast, and then I did Jafar for Aladdin, which I really enjoyed. And then I think the studio then almost saw me as, oh, Andreas is the animator who does villains very well. So by the time it got to Lion King, they asked me if I wanted to do a villain again. And I was hesitating at first because, you know, as an animator, you want to have a little bit of a range and you want to have different assignments. But once they told me that Jeremy Irons would do the voice, I said, oh, boy, count me in. I have to do this. I have to do this character. So he made Scar a really dangerous but also intelligent villain, and that's what really fascinated me. For villains, it's very important that they're not just evil and slap people around and just be mean. They have to be interesting as a personality. They have to have little quirks, little likes and dislikes. Maybe they have a sidekick. But you have to create a whole personality, just like as you do with a hero or a funny character. And with Scar, again, I thought, here's a guy who, he's weak. He's not physically strong like some of those villains. But he's smart and he's dangerous. And that made a very interesting combination. And again, just working with that voice, and Jeremy Irons had so much fun with words. You know, he would just mock Simba and do a little baby talk to him. Oh, Simba, Simba, you know, what have you done? And then the big challenge was, and I hadn't done really a four-legged animal. I'd done things like Roger Rabbit, which is basically sort of a rabbit humanized character. And the problem that I saw very early on is I don't have hands to work with. You know, he can't gesture like a human being. So how am I going to have him say these words and have the true feelings coming through? So, and I found out with a four-legged animal, just like the old animators did with Dumbo or Lady and the Tramp, you have to really work hard on find the correct body attitude. So the overall body shape is really important, how the head is tilted. Those are the things you have to work with. You don't have hands for gesturing, you know.
Now, getting inspiration for creating a character and generating one, I just wonder, how much of yourself can you put in there as well? So, Andreas, basically what I'm saying is there a bit of a villain deep inside you?
Well, people ask me this. Are you mean? Do you go home and beat your cats or your pets at home? Or what do you do? Well, I hope not. But the thing is, you know, it's all about observation. And this is what Eric Larson, who's the old animator from Disney, who hired me, he said, observation is the key. When you draw from your own experiences, you know, because you go around observing people in supermarkets or sitting in cafes, or you observe an old lady crossing the street and she walks very differently than a young 12-year-old boy, you have to file all those things away and then use them. And in the case of villains, yeah, you've encountered people in your life who lie, who cheat, you know, who don't tell you the truth, who are manipulative. And you remember those things, and then you bring those out into your character, into your drawing. It's really that much stronger than making something up that you haven't experienced. If you can draw from your own observations, your own experiences, I think it's going to be more truthful, and it's going to be more real to an audience.
So you're a good guy, Andreas. That's what you're saying, really.
Basically, I'm I don't know if I'm doing a good job, but I'm talking myself out of this.
We believe you. Now, Dumbo, as we mentioned, available on DVD on June the 6th. I just wonder, any of the techniques that were used in the original have an effect on your work today?
Well, it's just the purity of the emotions that I just admire so much. There's a very sentimental sequence in Dumbo that I think everybody thinks of when they think about the movie, and that is when Dumbo visits his mother. She's imprisoned in this wagon that has these big bars, you know. She's basically in prison, and he's going up there, and she can't really get close to him, so she just puts her trunk outside the window and picks up her little baby and swings him back and forth, and then you hear this beautiful song called Baby Mine. I mean, anybody who doesn't cry during that sequence is not human. That is such an emotional, humane sequence, probably stronger for that sort of sequence than anything that they did before or after.
Now, some of the greats that you've mentioned, one or two already, but I just wonder, have you ever met or worked with any of the pioneers of Disney animation, people like Joe Grant, Ollie Johnston?
Yes, I go and see Ollie all the time. He's the last surviving member of this distinguished group, you know, called the Nine Old Men, and he's going to be 94 this year, and I still love to show him drawings and show him sketchbooks, and he gets all stimulated because he's, of course, a visual person. So I see Ollie all the time. And I knew most of the others as well. By the time I started in 1980, two had already passed away, John Lounsbury and Les Clark. But I had a chance to get to know Mark Davis really well, who animated Cruella de Vil and Tinkerbell and Sleeping Beauty. And Milt Kahl, of course, who animated the brilliant Tiger in The Jungle Book. And Peter Pan was his character. And Frank Thomas, you know, who did the stepmother in Cinderella and all these other characters. And next to having a chance to work at Disney Studios, this was like this gigantic bonus that I got when I came to America, is like tracking these people down, becoming friends with them, taking them out to dinners, and just asking them all these thousands of questions. Basically, how did you do this? You know, how did you solve these problems? I mean, how can you do a character as subtle as the stepmother in Cinderella, where she doesn't move at all? How do you bring that to life? So I feel so grateful that I had a chance to have these conversations and make friends with these animators, and that to this day is really, really special to me.
On the line with us is Andreas Deja, wonderful Disney animator, and we're talking about Dumbo, available on DVD on June the 6th. Now, there are lots and lots of extras on the DVD. There's music videos and a brand new PDF for the kids. There are two bonus shorts and a good retrospective entitled Celebrating Dumbo that feature interviews with many of the top folks in the animation industry. And Andreas, I just wondered, where does Dumbo, for you, stand in terms of animation history?
Well, there were these pivotal movies throughout the years when Walt was making these films that almost saved the studio time and time again, and Dumbo was one of them, because even though films like Pinocchio and Fantasia and Bambi are masterpieces and always will be, but they didn't make money in those days because the Second World War was going on, and Walt didn't get any money from revenues from overseas, so again, the money wasn't there, and Dumbo really came through because it didn't cost very much. It was much, much cheaper than Bambi and Fantasia. And people just took to this really, really simple story, and it was a big hit. And it kind of brought them back, brought the studio back, and money came in, and they could keep going.
Do you have a favorite scene in Dumbo?
I really like the one where he gets tipsy, and then he has the surreal dream, the pink elephant parade dream. His little hiccups, they're just so cute and so hilarious. Each time he has a hiccup and he ends up, he kind of jumps a little, and then he ends up in this funny pose, and then, of course, he has his nightmarish. It's not really a nightmare. It's kind of funny about all these elephants that are dancing around in his head. I think that's probably a favorite of mine.
One of the best scenes, as you said, pink elephants on parade, just a great comedic moment. But one of the most powerful moments, I think, in Dumbo is when he goes and he visits his mother. And I just wondered, how difficult is it to build drama in animation?
One of the animation directors said drama in animation is very difficult. You cannot just have straight drama. It works for some live action films. There has to be a balance of comedy and drama, suspense, and all of these things. That works, and comedy, of course, works best in animation. And Dumbo has that mix. But when you talk about this scene, you know, where his mother is singing to him, something that is so sentimental and something that could actually, if not done right, could be very syrupy and, you know, strange, what people call kitsch. But it is so honest. And it is so heartfelt, and it's so beautifully done by an animator called Bill Tytler, who just, more than most people at that time, you know, during the early 40s, really was able to crawl into the minds of these characters. And he also had a big range. His other famous character is Stromboli, this volatile Italian puppeteer in Pinocchio, very different character, but he was able to jump into the soul of so many characters, but he understood that little, the innocence of Dumbo and the helplessness and the love for his mother. He had a child of his own when he was animating Dumbo. He had a little baby, and he said in interviews way back that he based a lot of the expressions and the body language on his own kid. You know, again, the animator drawing from real life observations.
Dumbo will always have a very special place in our hearts, and it sounds like we'll always have a very special place in your heart too, Andreas.
Absolutely. It's just, again, one of those stories that has so much heart in it. Whenever you get so caught up in putting a story together and the story is not working, it's too complicated, you always think about Dumbo. You know, let's try a little bit more like Dumbo. Let's simplify things and get to the heart of the characters.
Great. Well, thank you so much again for joining us, Andreas. All the very best. Good luck with the new projects.
Thank you so much.
So that was Andreas Deja, supervising animator of many of Disney's top animated movies. And Dumbo, the big top edition, is available on DVD on June the 6th. That's it for this edition. Thanks again to Andreas. I'm Ross King, and thanks for tuning in.